welcome to Inside Analog Photography Radio Program. I'm your host, Scott Shepard, and of course, the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program is all about traditional process photography. We talk about instant photography. We talk about black and white. We talk about color film. We talk about dry plate, wet plate, you name it, alternate printing processes, everything going on in analog photography. And of course, the Inside Analog Photography Radio Program is brought to you by Fujifilm over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. They have beautiful C41 color neg, black and white, color chrome, and of course, instant. Instant film rocks. These guys have so much great things going on right now with instant film. Of course, they have the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4.5 color, black and white, high speed black and white. But you know what's even cooler? They have the Instax cameras and film. The Instax Wide is in the country, available everywhere. And of course, right now, brand new, the Instax Mini is now in the U.S. They have cameras. They have film. This Instax Mini is 2.5 by 3.5. It's the size of a business card. This is really fun stuff. You got to check it out. www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab, the place to send all your film to get developed, proofs, you name it. They got a great workflow going. www.richardphotolab.com, DR5. For the most unbelievable proprietary process to turn your black and white film into positives, into chrome. You won't believe until you get your film back as a piece of chrome will blow your mind. The dynamic range, the latitude, it's just unbelievable stuff. Definitely check it out, www.dr5.com. Iger Studios, Lenny Iger, the place to have high-resolution scans done. You know, a lot of people now are shooting analog. They're using a high-resolution scan. They're making digital negatives on an inkjet, or maybe they're going straight to an inkjet output. But they're making digital negatives and they're printing contact prints. They're doing all the stuff you need to get a high resolution scan. They're using an Aztec Premier, 8,000 PPI, adjustable aperture. They can give you scans that are basically grain free. They can adjust it for every kind of film out there. This is crazy stuff going on with Lenny Iger and the guys at Iger Studios. Check them out, igerstudios.com. And of course, Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. The camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder. Our media partners, www.apug.org, the Analog Photography User Group, the place on the web for all things analog process. This is a great place to learn, to share information, to get tips and tricks, the community for analog photography, www.apug.org, and of course, our photographic philanthropy partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, www.geh.org, the place to go to find out about the history of traditional analog photography. These people are keeping this alive. They have over 7,000 cameras in their museum of everything that's ever been made, including the Hasselblads that were shot on the moon. You name it, they have the collection. This is a great way to help support. You can be a member of George Eastman House organization. They have a lot of great things going on, but this is something you can do to help give back to photography, to help keep traditional analog photography alive for generations to come. Definitely check them out, www.geh.org. Today on Inside Analog Photo, we're going to be here with Eric Luton from Digital Silver. We're going to talk about the people that are using the hybrid workflow scenario can actually output true traditional black and white silver gelatin prints from a digital file. So I think it's very cool to see that people that are doing event photography, somewhat of a volume of work, or even large format guys that are scanning can actually do correction, dodge, and burn in the digital environment and then output to a true traditional silver gelatin print via the digital silver process and the Ilford paper and chemical. Eric, how you doing today?
We're doing great, Scott. Thank you very much. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photography. Great to have you on the program today. You are the owner of Digital Silver Imaging. You guys do true black and white fiber gelatin, true black and white printing, but in a digital environment. So let's talk about that today and how that integrates into what people are using for analog capturing. I think at least some people won't even realize it, but I think most of analog capture that's done today shot on film is in the hybrid environment. So let's talk about yourself, Digital Silver Imaging, what you guys are doing, how all this stuff ties together with people that are shooting film but want to output to black and white, but want to do this in a digital hybrid environment. So let's talk about Eric. Tell me about yourself.
Oh, thanks, Scott. I'm, like some of us, been in the industry quite a few years. My last long stint was with Ilford Photo. I'm sure a lot of your listeners will know them from the years of analog work. I was with them on a national basis and helping them reestablish themselves in their North American operation. It was really towards the end of my time with them where we were able to produce two new black and white papers. both silver gelatin. I know you mentioned the fiber, but we also work with a resin-coated paper as well. And both of these can be exposed in a digital environment using a photographic laser enlarger. Some people may have heard the term a digital Z-print or a Durst Lambda or a light jet. Both of these do a laser exposure with light onto the silver-based paper. And the difference is that we're processing these papers in traditional black and white chemicals so that they're completely archival.
So, Eric, let's talk about this. People are traditionally shooting black and white film that has a certain amount of latitude and exposure and densities and so forth that we won't get into. But do you find that most people that are using digital silver imaging, are they shooting digital or are they shooting analog capture?
Scott, we're actually dealing with both types of clients. We have people who have archives of images, whether it be Herbie Green, who is the Grateful Dead photographer. We're scanning film for him. We have large format photographers that we work with. But we're also seeing a lot of people who have migrated to digital because the lab in their area went out of business or some other problem that they've encountered. They really want the flexibility of digital, so they have embraced some of the better and newer digital cameras. And so we're getting both film to scan for clients, or clients have scanned their own film, as well as digital capture.
Eric, let's talk about your guys' workflow, the equipment you're using, and how this works out. So, of course, we know you're using a silver gelatin, black and white paper, developed by Harman Ilford for use in a very high contrast situation like these laser developing machines, Durst Lambda, light jet, so forth and so on. Let's talk about what you guys are using for equipment and how this works out and for chemical and all that.
Sure. So all of our editing are done on Macs. Originally started out with all of our workflow being done on Adobe Photoshop, CS4 and CS3. We have migrated a lot of our black and white work over, as far as software goes, to a Nick Silver Effects. They make a really wonderful black and white Photoshop plugin that basically has revolutionized how we do our work here at the lab, producing phenomenal prints, phenomenal files. Those files are then literally sent over to this very large machine made by Durst called a Theta 51. I'm sitting right next to it here. It's almost 12 feet long. Back end is basically a laser exposing and paper transport section of the printer, where the digital file is exposed via a red, green, and blue laser directly onto the photographic paper as it passes beneath the laser. And then the back end of this big machine is a true black and white photoprocessor. So the paper is then fed into the machine all automatically. It goes through Ilford Developer, Ilford Fixer, and some wash tanks. So that, in terms of that part of the process, that's how that end of it works. Fiber-based papers are washed archivally in a post-production environment where we have vertical archival washers. They're air-dried flat and then pressed in seal presses so that we can get a really beautiful flat fiber-based print. On the other part of our input side, I know you're asking about some of the other equipment we're using Nikon 9000 scanners for our 35mm and medium format films. We have a wet plate scanning solution from Aztec Scanner, so if we have older negatives that have a lot of scratches or need some restoration, we will do a wet plate scan. And for our large format equipment, we're using the Epson V750. Both of those devices have produced great work for us, great files, and we're really happy with the results.
Let's talk about people that are doing the hybrid situation here, and they are going to scan their film, and they want to output via silver gelatin, black and white. What point do you cut off, or when does it get overkill based off of the scan resolution versus what you can output and what the machine will actually handle resolution-wise? Because everybody's always worried about extra lines per millimeter and this lens and that lens, and really where the rubber hits the road is when you make a print, because you don't have a photograph until you have a print, okay?
Absolutely, yep.
And of course, you can have all this great resolution, but typically no matter what process you're using, it doesn't matter, everything gets dumbed down at the print.
Absolutely. We have found for our solution that really we don't like using interpolation either within the scanner or frankly even within Photoshop anymore. So if people are asking us for our advice on scanning, we ask what the optical resolution is of their scanner and then scan the film at 100% of its size. So for instance, with the Nikon 9000, we scan everything at 4000 DPI at 100%. So a 35mm file ends up being about 30 megs. And what we rely on for the upsizing means that if someone were to send us an 8x10 file at its native size, we allow the Durst Theta software to then res that file up to whatever size it's intended for. We have seen better results doing it that way than taking an 8x10 within Photoshop and resizing it. So if he's taken 8x10 within Photoshop, size it up to 16x20 versus sending an 8x10 over to the Durst. Allow the Durst software to do the interpolation, we will get a better print on the Durst side. So in terms of that file and how big does my file have to be, we ask people to send us their files in their native size, not to res them up.
Okay, so we have a native size file. Let's just talk 35 here as general rule of thumb. So what do you find that you can do output-wise on the Durst printer with this Ilford Harman paper where you actually get to the point to where it still looks like it was optically done? like it was natural, where it's not over-resed, it's not been over-enlarged? Where do you find the cutoff point, what you can get out of, let's say, a 35 and then medium format?
35, we're doing up to 20 by 30s, and the same with the 2.25. That's our size capacity at the moment, so we can do up to 20 by 30. And either one, we can do pretty well. Obviously, some of that's going to depend on the ASA of the film that was shot. 400, definitely you're going to see more grain than you would on a slower speed film, but we've definitely done some 20 by 30s with people from 400 speed film. People have said, well, that looks just like my Tri-X print when I did it in the darkroom.
Let's talk about the look of the print. Like you said, traditionally people were scanning film, and I think when it comes to self-produced prints, at least in the hybrid workflow, Epson sort of much has a corner on doing high-end black and white with their different size pieces. How do you find that your prints look like? Because you've been in the industry a long time. So what do you think about the way the stuff comes off the dirt compared to what you're going to see out of current high-end Epson?
Well, what you have to remember, Scott, is that silver gelatin papers, there's a silver gelatin that's within the emulsion of the paper.
Yep.
Versus the way inkjet printers work, where as the paper is being transported through the printer, it's literally being sprayed onto the surface with ink. I certainly think that the papers have greatly improved some of the issues that we all struggled with before. The metamerism, the odd reflections, the coalescence where ink would pool, not as much of a problem anymore. But you can definitely still tell when you look at these prints and the people have become very critical and you start looking at them from the side and you tilt the papers and all that. You still will pick up some of that with certain printers and paper combinations, whereas with our process, it's non-existent. The image is within the silver inside of the paper. So it's a really true photographic process. So you just don't have some of those other issues.
Do you find you still get the same dynamic range and latitude with this digital paper versus a traditional optically exposed paper?
Our clients are telling me that they're seeing better results through us than they could achieve in their darkrooms. I don't know how good they were as printers, but certainly some of the caliber of work I'm seeing, they look like good photographers. So I would have to assume that they were pretty good printers. People are so relieved that we're able to give them this quality of work from their files.
So, Eric, let's talk about workflow when it comes to pricing structure on doing a digital silver imaging print. I know we have a certain cost involved with inkjet output. There's certain costs involved when you send your hybrid workflow images to a traditional lab that does a regular color C41 print process. Tell me about doing the stuff in black and white versus, let's say, color. I'm sure you have comparisons of cost versus your output versus inkjet. How's all this work out?
Sure. We offer basically two different services. We have our custom RC and then the custom fiber. And basically, in that environment, we're assuming that maybe the client doesn't want to do a lot of prep themselves, that they just want to send us a raw file and have us do some work. And we use a file transfer service called YouSendIt, which makes it extremely easy for people to send us files. It's not a complicated FTP service. They literally type in their email, browse to the file, and click YouSendIt. And depending on the file size, they're to us pretty quickly. And then we can have a dialogue with the photographer talking about the file, what sizes they're thinking about, and they want something done. We can literally make some changes and email them back a low-res JPEG. So there is a sort of a custom-level service that we offer. So, for instance, RC prints, when we go through the custom service, 16 by 20s are $45. If you compare that to some of the commercial labs out there that are printing on color paper, that should be relatively comparable to what they're doing. On the fiber-based side, what I mentioned before, that we really want to ensure a totally archival print. When the fiber prints come out of the machine, we pick up where the machine leaves off. We do a couple additional washes, as I mentioned. So the fiber-based printing, for instance, for a 16 by 20, it's $125 compared to the custom RC of $45. And if you were to look at some of the labs that are still doing analog printing, we're pretty comparable to what they're charging on the fiber-based side. Because, as you mentioned, the competitive nature in the RC world, color print, who hasn't been to Costco and seen a color print for 19 or 16 cents? If photographers want to do their prep work, utilize our new service through a company called Lab Prints. Lab Prints is a service that allows customers to browse through their files on their hard drive, and they get uploaded to us all sized and cropped exactly as they're going to be printed. That service is very economical for people. It's what we call our direct-to-print service. So if people are looking for more volume and they're going to do all the prep work themselves, they can get a 16 by 20 from us on that service for $25 and 4 by 6s for about a dollar. So we try to meet the needs of the range of photographers, those who want to do all the work themselves or just looking for a good, economical, resin-coated print. They can go up to our website at digitalsilverimaging.com. Go to our section on direct to pricing, and they can download this free software from Lab Prints, and that just allows them to set up an account with us for direct printing. That's a good economical service. That's appealing a lot to what I call the social photographic market, maybe the portrait, wedding, and social photographer whose volume is a little bit higher. Or, as I said, we still offer the custom service through our use, send, and upload application for both our custom RC and fiber-based printing.
Eric, let's talk about this printer profile and a color space. Is this using a true black and white color space? Does it use sRGB? Tell me about how people should send files and what color space you're working in. And then I want to chat about actually analog acquisition and should it be really true black and white? Or yep. Because of the output of the printer and the dynamic range and the latitude the printer has, am I better off shooting color, doing a conversion with NIC stuff? But let's talk about this other topic first.
If you're shooting an analog and scanning your own work, we need to print our files in an Adobe RGB color space. So either Adobe 98 or Profoto RGB is what we need. As I mentioned, the printer is an RGB photographic printer, so we need the three channels of RGB to print the file. So we ask that people keep them in that color space for our printing application. And definitely, if you're shooting digital, shoot in RAW and keep all that color information and then do the conversion. As I said, we definitely are big fans of the NIC Silver FX Pro software. It's something that we endorse. It's something that we now sell as a result of how happy we are with the workflow and do all the conversion there. If you tell your camera to shoot in black and white, camera's going to throw out very important information. So don't let your camera make that choice.
So the printer itself has a wider color gamut or a wider range than the typical sRGB then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does.
And you find that you're going to get a better print based off of the scan with a true black and white capture? Or do you find that there's no difference when you're outputting digitally here with this Harman black and white paper that does it really matter if it is color or black and white capture originally? I mean, I know, of course, when you shoot black and white, you have more tonality and more range than you would with color. But when it comes to output, it's a different story.
It is a different story. We feel that the dynamic range is exceptionally good. Where people really notice the difference is in the D-Max area. We can definitely see some exceptionally good shadow detail. And the other area that it really shines is up in the highlight area where we really don't have a lot of blooming and blown out highlights.
What's the max you can get on this paper, D-Max-wise, black-wise?
We're up at about 205 or 210.
Wow, pretty cool.
Yep, very, very good.
The reason I ask is a lot of people, especially like you were talking when it comes to people that are doing volume work, people especially I think that are really in the hybrid environment is your social photographer, people that are shooting portraits, weddings, some event stuff, and they're already shooting color. They're going to a high volume lab that's doing mass scanning and all this other stuff. But then they're also going to want to say, okay, well, you know, I'd like to offer some of these portraits in a true black and white, per se. You don't find it to be negative with your service if they come in with an original color capture.
Absolutely not. And again, we're going to have two different types of photographers. The photographer wants to do all the work themselves, or the photographer who wants to have us do that work. And if they upload through the lab print servers, they will get an exceptionally good black and white print right from their raw digital color file.
Of course, you're going to get a better print than if you were using a black and white color capture originally. So if I'm using a Kodak BW400CN or a Ilford XP2 film and using a color process to make black and white, I'm still not getting true black and white because this is a true silver gelatin black and white paper. So it's going to give me these metallic tones that I'm not going to see if it was captured even on color paper.
Yeah, absolutely. Because again, what you're dealing with there is a black and white film that is designed for color process. So it's cut in a corner. And then when you print it out on the color paper, you're still dealing with a color process that's trying to replicate a black and white process. It's a good solution. And it was a good solution when there wasn't this other option available.
Well, of course, plus the color process is a dye. Now, the Harman paper, the Ilford paper, is this actually true silver gelatin or is this a dye-based paper?
No, absolutely. That's a great question. For people who are old enough to remember printing with graded resin-coated or graded fiber-based papers, the RC paper is actually their Ilfo Speed Pearl resin-coated paper. It is the exact same paper that was used then. The emulsion is slightly tweaked for an RGB laser exposure. And the same thing on the fiber-based side, it is the exact same paper as the Ilfo Brome Gallery darkroom paper. It is the exact same paper, the exact same base, and again, the emulsion is tweaked just slightly for an RGB laser exposure. So these are true silver gelatin papers. It is a light exposure process and chemical process that we're doing.
So I think that's the big takeaway there is, like you said, even though it's a digital process and you can shoot analog capture and scan and output, you're getting an actual true silver print. You're getting the qualities of a silver gelatin black and white print with the reflectivity, the tonality, and what makes a true black and white print unique over a black and white dye print.
Correct. And the other thing that we've certainly had discussions with some of the people who are doing archival permanence, be it Henry Wilhelm or other people, Mr. Wilhelm, even his paper, still says the Cadillac benchmark that we have for true longevity is the archivally processed silver gelatin fiber-based print. We're all making claims for how long things will last, but what we have that has stood the test of time are these silver gelatin papers that have been around for 40, 60, 80, and 100 years. So that we have proven tests on. And as far as the resin-coated side, if people are trying to save a little money and print on RC, how many color photos have we all seen shift from our lab in a relatively short period of time to start losing their density? Whereas a black and white silver gelatin paper, not using a color dye process, will give them a better test of time. It'll stand the test of time.
So do you have profiles on your website when it comes to color space? People that aren't really familiar with working in a true calibrated system, do you have assistance with people calibrating their monitors? You have color space already for them to work in within Photoshop? I mean, if they're not used to doing, let's say, a fine quality digital output, do you have help with this? And also, what about soft proofing and so forth and so on?
That is what we have on our site, again, at digitalsilverimaging.com. We have a little section called Digital Silver News, and in working with some people from X-Rite, we did develop some new soft proofing ICC profiles that are there. So we'll give them a good approximation of what they will get on for both the fiber and the RC papers. And they can just download these and put them right into their custom profile view settings.
Well, no, I think that's very important when people, if they can get up to speed and do this stuff correctly, they can actually upload files to you and not have you guys have to spend a bunch of time on them and get back a really high quality print that's extremely economically priced for what you're getting compared to if you went and either did it yourself in the dark room or had someone else do it.
Correct, yep.
So, Eric, tell me about the feedback that you've gotten from photographers that have been using your service with printing here with this Harmon Ilford paper on your equipment in your guys' lab. Tell me about what you've heard from people when it comes to what they've been used to recently, maybe people that have switched over from inkjet printing or even traditional color C printing and what they're getting now with the true black and white print.
Really, our customers have been great. A lot of great feedback from general photo enthusiasts, people who really said that they'd forgotten how good a silver print can look when they start comparing it next to either their inkjet output or maybe they've been using a color lab. Really, the feedback is just astounding. I have a couple of clients who do really nice family portrait work, and they've since added true black and white silver printing back into their brochures and their handouts. So customers are really embracing this as a really nice option for their business, both from a commercial standpoint and a fine arts standpoint. As I said, we've had photo enthusiasts. We've done some prints for various archives. As I mentioned, we're doing some work for a guy named Herbie Green, doing some great shots of his stuff of the Grateful Dead with Bob Dylan. And really, the satisfaction has been very, very high.
Eric, what do you see moving forward with digital silver imaging expansion of the business? Do you find people are looking for bigger prints? What's your thoughts on what you guys are doing moving forward?
It's really less about bigger prints, and really the call we get is for more options. And thankfully, Ilford/Harmon did show me a couple of new papers that we're really excited to be able to talk more about shortly. But obviously the big one that people are asking about is more of a warm tone paper, and we definitely have a solution coming forward on that within the coming months. Saw some prototypes of that at the PhotoPlus Expo show. That was exciting to see. And ironically, Scott, the other thing that's been interesting is I've had a number of calls asking if people can hand color, the old hand coloring method on the two papers that we have. And you can do it somewhat, but the pastels don't work. And again, Ilford is responding to this, and we've got a very unique matte surface paper that will be coming out probably in the first quarter of 2010. That will mean that people can get a matte surface print that they could then do some post-treatment on. So again, we're excited that Ilford is dedicated to this, that they've got solutions, that they're looking down the pike to meet the needs of their customers and the labs that are offering the service. So printing bigger doesn't seem to be as big a demand as a variety of substrates. And so we're looking forward to seeing those new papers in production in the beginning part of the year.
What about toning? Typically, in a traditional black and white darkroom, you could do selenium and sepia toning, another type of toning. Can you do this also?
Yeah, we absolutely do. And again, for added archival permanence, selenium toning is definitely what some of our clients are asking us to do, so we can offer that. We've been using PhotoSpeed sepia toner, and you can really do some nice variations on the dilutions so you can get a variety of tones. So we've really settled on this nice dilution that really gives a great sort of brown copper look to the prints. And again, more permanence, and not something we did in the computer. We actually do it in the trays and that sort of thing.
So, Eric, tell me how people would get started with digital silver imaging, what you guys are doing. You have ways to set up accounts. How do people get started and start doing some test prints and sort of see how all this works out?
Absolutely. Again, the website for us is at digitalsilverimaging.com. They'll find a bunch of information there on us about what to do, services that we offer, how to set up an account, how to upload files to us. Account process is very easy. It's just a PDF that they've got to fill out and email back to us with their credit card information. As I said, we've been shipping prints all over the country, even internationally. We've got some very happy Canadian customers and some very happy people over in Europe that we've been doing business with. It's a very easy process. Once we have that account set up, we talk to customers all the time on the phone. We're very, very hands-on. We believe in being able to talk to clients directly about their work. and if they have questions, to be able to meet their needs. It's a very easy process for them.
Wow, this is great stuff. I think people should really go over, look at your website, read some of the testimonials. You guys have a cool blog going on, but even more so is somebody needs to order at least one print or a few of them to look at this and actually see the difference between the RC, the fiber paper you have, and actually what this looks like compared to traditional color print versus an inkjet. It's pretty amazing.
Absolutely, yep.
Eric, I really appreciate you joining today. Great stuff going on with Digital Silver Imaging. I think that this is a very viable service that people can use. Analog capture, a lot of people, like you said, especially in the wedding portrait and the social market, are already shooting color, processing high volume scans. And I think this is a great service that people can offer to their clients to get a true black and white print, or even someone too that's shooting low volume that doesn't have the accessibility of a dark room and wants to get a true print. This is pretty cool.
Absolutely. That's really what we're aiming for. We want to be able to be there for the person who had a darkroom, doesn't have one anymore, the photo enthusiast who's just gotten back into photography and really doesn't want to be married to that computer, or the fine art person who's looking to really meet the need of a gallery and really wants to have a true silver gelatin print. So that's who we're here for. We look forward to working with people all the time.
No, it's very cool. Great service. Great to see you guys do this. And I really appreciate you joining us on the program today. We definitely look forward to having you back talking about some more in-depth topics on hybrid workflows. Great stuff you're doing here, Eric. I really appreciate it.
Great. I appreciate the call, Scott, and we look forward to working with you.
Well, there you go. Eric Luden from Digital Silver. Pretty neat process. Really cool stuff. Amazing looking prints. Quite economical, too. Pretty neat stuff going on here in the hybrid workflow category of analog photography. You know, you can shoot on film. You can shoot on wet plate, dry plate. It doesn't matter. You can scan it. You can bring it into a digital realm. You can share the files with people on Facebook, on Flickr, on other environments. You need to be able to share the work with people worldwide, but you can still output via an analog process. It's quite cool. So it's a very cool hybrid situation going on here, and neat stuff with Digital Silver and, of course, Eric Luden and all the guys over there. Pretty cool stuff. The Inside Analog Photography radio program is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful over at www.fujifilmusa.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab at richardphotolab.com. DR5 over at www.dr5.com. Iger Studios over at igerstudios.com. Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com. And of course, our media partners, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, over at www.apug.org. Our photography philanthropy partners, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.geh.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photography Radio. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.